What's up, everybody? Thanks for pressing play today. In today's episode of Nerd Nostalgia, you're going to catch Brian, Irvin, and Trey, a trio episode, and we talk about Batman and Robin. Guys, we fucking shit all over this movie. We talk about a little positive at the end. Obviously, we go on our tangents. You know what it is. We always do that kind of stuff. Enjoy this episode. It was a fun one to record. I had a great time with the boys. As always, please head over to Apple Podcasts, drop that 5-star, tell your friends about it, steal their phones, let us know. Our giveaway is done if you signed up for that. I'm going to be rounding up all the people that are on there right now and finishing that up. But y'all know the drill. Before we get started, here's a quick clip for you to enjoy.
I'm Miho Nishizumi, and this is Nerd Nostalgia Podcast. And thanks for stopping by. Panzer Vore! Oh, and fuck you, Brian, with an I.
And then 1, 2, 3, clap. Draw clap?
Mm-hmm. We just did it in such unison that you couldn't tell.
Maybe, but I doubt it.
No, there's a clap on there. I can see it.
Yeah, I see my clap too. Awesome. Okay, I'll lead us in. Hey everybody, thanks for joining us again in another episode of Nerd Nostalgia. In today's episode, you're going to catch me, Brian, and Trey. We're going to be chatting about the worst movie from the 90s, or the worst comic book movie, at least. And it's a Batman movie.
Well, it may be just the worst movie in the 90s, period. There isn't much that's worse.
When did G. Lee pop up? When did that happen?
Oh, good call. I don't know.
So today's topic, we're going to go over Batman and Robin. We're going to discuss how shitty it is, maybe some points that we actually like about the movie. I want to say it's probably two things. But yeah, let's jump into it, guys. Brian, why don't you start us off today with that pretty little face beard combo you got going on there?
Is the face and the beard the combo? I don't know what the combo is, man. I'm feeling fresh. Look, you shouldn't have started with me because I've been kind of nostalgic for the movie lately. And not the movie, but the director, Joel Schumacher, who has gotten mountains of shit for this movie over the course of...
Is it Schumacher or Shoemaker?
I'm really glad that you decided to interrupt me for that question. Let's assume it's both. Let's assume that in him being dead now, he really doesn't care how you pronounce his name. So we'll go with Schumacher for now.
R.I.P., bro.
Joel Schumacher actually died June 22nd of this year. He's no longer with us. So I really feel bad about talking too much shit about it. Here's what I'll tell you is it's not a great movie. It was a movie that was designed to sell toys, and it was a movie that could have been better. It's also a movie that Joel Schumacher went on record and apologized for making. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but he was in an interview, and he literally looked directly at the camera and said, "By the way, guys, for those of you who wanted Batman and Robin to be a good movie, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I made that movie the way I did."
I had no idea that he apologized for it. That's
he straight up apologized for it.
That's crazy.
So is it a terrible movie in a lot of ways? Yes. Does it take what could have been good material and made it ugly and silly? Yes. Did it ruin the Batman franchise? No, because you already had Batman Returns and Batman Forever, and neither of those were really good movies. So you can't say, oh, it took this perfect franchise and threw it down the gutter. I mean, the franchise was imperfect from the get-go.
Okay, that's a valid point. It may not have been the sole factor for the franchise being dead for 10 years, but it definitely was the fucking straw that broke the camel's back. And by straw, I mean a big fucking heavy piece of anvil, like in Looney Tunes.
And that's actually, it's funny, you mentioned that it's the 10-year hiatus for Batman. That may actually be the strength of this movie, right? Is that if it had been an okay movie, or if it had been mediocre at best, or if it had essentially just been Batman Forever Again, we probably would have had a fifth Batman movie in that series. So by I love this. By so badly shitting the bed, Batman and Robin basically put it on ice for a while and allowed a more mature filmmaker like Nolan to come in to the franchise. And so, again, it's not a great movie. It's more fun to watch and make fun of with friends than to watch it as a piece of art. But it has its merits, and I don't want to speak too ill of Joel Schumacher right now, again, as he recently died. And Joel Schumacher also gave us some pretty cool movies throughout his career. So that's going to be my unfortunate way to start this episode, shitting on Batman and Robin.
Way to bring down the mood.
Yeah, okay, Irvin, take note. Don't let Brian start shows, because everybody wants to fucking just take a razor blade to their wrists. Moving on. Actually, but the funny thing is, most of my thoughts are right there in line with you. I thought that because this movie was so bad that it did set up and possibly made Christopher Nolan's... I mean, I think they're fucking awesome movies as they are, right? But I think it made it that much better because everybody was like, oh, what fucking piece of shit are we about to get? Are we about to run in, coming off of, you know, a 10-year hiatus from the ever so bad Batman and Robin? But I think it does have a couple good points, but not many, and we can get into it here in a little bit. Trey, what are your just initial thoughts on it?
So I found a quote by Michael J. Nelson of Mystery Science Theater 3000 fame. He wrote in his book Movie Mega Cheese, "Batman and Robin is not the worst movie ever. No, indeed. It's the worst thing ever. Yes, it's the single worst thing that we as human beings have ever produced in recorded history."
That's pretty bad.
It's pretty harsh.
I just fucking would like to nominate Gigli as...
Well, yeah.
Irvin, to take that, I'm going to bust some chops right now.
Or getting dragged along to go watch Hitch in the movie theater as a third wheel.
Fuck you, Trey. Hey, Irvin, I'm going to bust your chops right now. Have you ever in your entire life seen Gigli in its entirety?
Probably yes, but I don't remember it.
I don't believe you. I don't think you've ever seen that movie. I think you're talking shit about a movie you've never seen for its reputation, not for having suffered through it.
No, I do remember seeing it because I
suffered through
it. As a Latin man, as you know, I was a fan of J-Lo. That ass. It was just phenomenal.
Hey. J-Lo's ass is not just loved by Latin men. Trey can attest to that as a non-Latin.
That's very true.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. It's universal. That ass loving knows no pigmentation color. Yep. So I don't know. I don't know what I was saying there, but whatever the fuck. You know what the fuck I'm trying to say. That ass is universal. Everybody likes it.
With that being said, so with that quote, and I just thought it was kind of a funny quote, but Batman and Robin came out in 1997, right? We at the time were 9, 10 years old respectively.
Dating ourselves.
And for a 9, 10-year-old kid, it was awesome. It had motorcycle racing, and Mr. Freeze actually like makes an appearance on the big screen, and it's the Governator. Like,
Arnold, yeah. Get to the chopper. Get to Batman now.
You know, and it had the cheesy one-liners and George Clooney.
Chill.
Shit. The puns were really... The fucking ice puns were just so bad.
So bad.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age. Go to the chopper.
This movie is so bad and just kind of shits all over fucking Batman mythos that it almost is like a parody, like a spoof to fucking what the actual genre is, right? Or what even those movies were from fucking like Batman 89 and then Batman Forever. Yeah, dude. It's just ridiculous. Ridiculous, I tell you. But it did have some good things.
Let me tell you the...
Go ahead.
I'm gonna get off of my defending the movie for a little bit. Let me say what I think it was so horrible about it. It took the Mr. Freeze backstory from the 1990s animated series, Heart of Ice, which I think it won a daytime Emmy because of that episode. Irvin, what are you doing?
He was applauding your Google skills.
Yeah, very, very quick reader there.
I wanted to make sure. Honestly, all I wanted to do was make sure that this is actually the one it won the award for, because I was pretty sure that the animated series won the Emmy for Heart of Ice. That was the inspiration for the
Freeze being in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for the inspiration for Freeze's backstory, which is his wife, Nora Freeze, gets a sickness and he's trying to cure her.
Yeah.
That story took Mr. Freeze, who was an unknown C-lister villain in the Batman franchise, and made him relevant, made him
mainstream.
Mainstream, but it gave him a sympathetic backstory. And they said, hey, what would it be like if we took that backstory that won this show, the daytime Emmy, and then just make it shitty and make fun of it and take something that was beautiful and make it ugly. And that's...
And throw useless characters in there left and right.
Yeah, God. Who else was in it? Poison Ivy and Bane?
So it's the...
Bane.
Yep. Well, Bane is a lot smaller of a character. It's more of just a henchman of Poison Ivy in the movie. But, I mean, I think that's recipe for a failing superhero movie. Let's take one story that we know has worked in the past. Throw it in there. This will be our main storyline, but let's throw as many other bullshit villains as we can at it. Maybe not even bullshit villains. Just villains at it.
Time
over and over and over.
Time and time we've seen that formula just fucking kill movies. Spider-Man 3, Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, Amazing Spider-Man.
What else?
Yeah.
What other movies can y'all think of? So Batman and Robin.
But I mean, okay, so do you think Batman and Robin was the first of its kind to fail and to be so god awful because of throwing unnecessary characters at it?
Now, while I've never seen this movie, Captain America, that went straight to DVD and video.
I thought that failed just because it was so low budget, and it just was like they just slapped something together. They basically slapped together a pilot episode on a shoestring budget and then expected to be able to broadcast it out.
I think the other two Batman movies had the same problem where they said, okay, Joker was successful in the first one. Let's do Catwoman and the Penguin, and here you go. We've now got too many villains in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And there was really no reason to have both of those villains. You could have had a movie just around
either or
the Catwoman story.
Yeah.
Because Catwoman, her...
I'm hearing feedback from somebody.
I don't know. The Catwoman villain was I can never remember this actor's name. It kills me. Christopher Walken. That was kind of her antagonist in that. That could have been its own movie. Or the Penguin story where he's doing the disgusting rags to riches kind of thing. And then the same issue with the Batman Forever where you've got Two-Face and then the Riddler for some reason. Probably just to sell more toys. Just to get more toys out in kids' hands.
Right. You've got, a great portrayal of the Riddler by Jim Carrey that could have easily stood on his own. The only thing is that you would have had to give the Riddler someone to play off of. So if it wasn't Two-Face, who would it have been? Like, would you just had a henchman, or would he just, like, played against himself? Or anyway, I mean, but I agree with you. Like, so, and then you got Tommy Lee Jones that could have stood as an excellent Two-Face by himself as a villain.
Which movie were they in again?
Batman Forever.
Forever,
yeah. I fucking dug on Batman Forever. That one to me is a very nostalgic movie. And even this one, I still remember watching it as a kid several times and actually enjoying it, but that's because I was a fucking little kid. I wish I knew the fucking lyrics, but I don't.
I have come to learn them, but I won't sing them for everyone else's sake. Real talk though, Irvin, when you say that you liked Batman Forever, would you say that your favorite part of that movie was Nicole Kidman, or was it literally anything else? Because my guess is it was Nicole Kidman.
I think my favorite character in that movie, he makes a small cameo appearance. Trey, do you know who I'm thinking of? He's a Asian actor, very famous.
Jackie Chan?
Boom, yep, nailed it, exactly. Jackie motherfucking Chan, cameos in that movie.
Oh, I thought it was Bruce Lee for a minute. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Is it the other one? Donnie? Who is it? Brian, can you
help
me?
This may be an inside joke that I don't remember from an earlier episode. That's fine. I accept it.
It's been the past at least four or five episodes that we've done this, and it's about you. But that's okay. I'm glad you don't remember. It's like my Lando Blarizian thing. Go fuck yourself.
You mean the one that you changed the edit on so that way you sounded less stupid?
I did not. Because it's still really bad.
He's not that skilled.
Yeah, I was not. Yeah, that was like one of the first episodes.
I'm sure the audio for that line is, Irvin goes, my favorite character from the Star Wars original trilogy was Blando Caldrizian. And then it's like a very obvious dub over that original line. I have to go back and
cool
listen.
Cool story, bro. It's cool story, bro. Can you tell that again?
Skips and cuts off.
So, okay. What do you remember about Batman and Robin? We've talked about, you know, it being shitty. We've talked about how it kind of set up Christopher Nolan's potential movies because it was such a low bar. And so the fans came into it pretty happy and excited for something else, something new. So what do y'all remember? I remember being a kid and watching it. Some of the most iconic scenes for me were being in the garage and like going through all the fucking cool cars. I remember that being a cool scene for me. But I was a kid that was into cars, always have been into cars. And so I still remember that. I still remember the motorcycles. That was a big thing. He's like, if you can fix it, you can have it. Or is that the other movie?
That was Batman Forever.
Damn it, Irvin. Whoops, fucked it up. Just kidding, guys. So I take it back.
This is the one where, the biggest, with the motorcycles, though, you're right. Because it was Robin or however, O'Donnell, whatever we want to say. And then racing, and Coolio is the guy that's taking the pot for the race. He's like the MC or whatever for the race. And then, Alicia Silverstone comes in and whips his ass, but then almost dies, but he saves her. And he's like, what the fuck are you doing here? She's like, I'm Alfred's niece or something. I don't know. But that was cool.
That's right.
People always, I can't honestly say that I remember it from watching it as a kid, but everyone always talks about the nipples in the batsuit. Why?
Because there's
I know exactly what you're talking about. I know the scene, I think that I'm not actually remembering it from watching it as a kid. It's just how many times it's been talked about since that. Like, it's just always like anyone mentions Batman and Robin, they mention the nipples in the batsuit.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's because they switched up the mm-hmm. suits, and yeah. So they wanted to emphasize that. They were like, oh, we have these fucking suits that we're just basically making so we can sell more fucking toys.
Right.
And they focus on the fucking chest area, and like, you're like, that's nipples. I think they even focus on the ass area for fucking Chris O'Donnell, if I remember correctly. So,
and Alicia Silverstone.
That's both fair. I wasn't mad at that part.
Right. But it's like,
I think Brian was.
Again, so I remember that, but I don't know if I remember that or if I just have heard it so many times since then that it's just ingrained. You know, I think Batman and Robin, I think nipples in a batsuit.
Yeah.
And then that, and then the Batman credit card when he's like, don't leave the cave without it.
The credit card part was terrible.
What a fucking,
I remember that,
total though. 90s fucking corporate fucking movie, dude.
Schumacher actually had a good explanation for the bat nipples. I liked it. It may not have made sense aesthetically, and it may still have been a terrible choice, but at least he thought about it. What he said was that he imagined the Batman characters as not just being people, but as being Greek gods, essentially. And so he wanted to emphasize that fact, and that was one of the ways that he showed it, was the bat nips. And you can kind of see that in the larger-than-life way that he portrays Gotham, and these are sort of the pantheon of gods. Yeah. Again, was it a good choice? Was it more distracting than anything else? Yeah, but at least you can say that he thought about it. Again, still not a good movie.
And then, what was it? The last thing that I remember pretty vividly that I still remember is whenever at the end they're trying to fix or turn off the ray, a freeze ray or whatever it is that's blowing up everything. And like, he's trying to...
I think it's a Mr. Freeze Ray.
Yeah, Mr. Freeze Ray. And it's Robin and Batgirl, and they're like trying to work on the computer, but the monitor's turned upside down or whatever, and she's like, silly boys, and she flips the screen over. That little dialogue back and forth was just so, like, for a 10-year-old was so cheesy. It was like, really?
I remember thinking the fact that they froze the entire city, frozen solid. I was thinking, all those people are dead. Even if it's not a cold issue, They have not been breathing in air for like 10 minutes. So not only do they have severe nerve damage throughout their entire body, but they are brain dead.
Yeah, but no. All you got to do is harness the sun's powerful rays, change it back.
Also punched a hole in the ozone layer so big that global warming...
that Gotham will never be the same again.
It's a perpetual summer. it's a comic book movie where a man dresses as a rubber bat and is George Clooney. it doesn't have to make sense.
No.
So hey, speaking of George Clooney...
It's only 200 degrees today.
Let's talk about the positives. First of all, George Clooney. Let's just leave it at that. He is George Clooney. He's a fucking beautiful man, god, demigod, human. But he obviously wasn't right for the role. Would y'all say he's the worst Batman of all time?
The argument can be made.
Hmm.
I think we do probably need to rank them, all of them, everybody.
Yeah, I think we could totally do a fucking episode just on that. Like go over each of our rankings. I think we've brought this up a few times where I think it would be a great episode.
I think the idea that he is the worst is probably pretty likely, if not the worst, one of the worst. Now, again, he just had the unfortunate casting to be cast in the worst movie ever. And it happened to be a Batman movie, and he happened to be playing Batman in that movie.
Yeah, it's kind of like Affleck with some of the stuff that he's been in with as far as Batman, even though I still think he's a fucking awesome Batman and Bruce Wayne for that matter. But
is he better than Clooney though? Because was the Justice League movies and, you know, BVS and everything.
Yeah.
Was all of that better than Batman and Robin?
100%. Not even
so.
Like, not
so that's
even
what
close.
I'm saying. Like,
not
so
even
he
close.
Has. So I mean, he has. It's not. It's not much better. It is better.
It's
but
significantly
it's not much
better, dude. It's two different fucking tones. As the DC professional here, motherfuckers, it is definitely better.
I want Brian to weigh in on this one.
Yeah, give me some. Throw it at me. What you got?
So the question is Batman v Superman a better or worse movie than Batman and Robin?
It's okay, not, well, dude. It's definitely not. I actually there's on HBO Max they just released the extended cut, which adds in I think like 30 minutes of time, but it plays into I think a little bit more. I think it gives it a little bit more.
Is this the Snyder? I thought the Snyder cut was coming out like next year.
That's Snyder cut for Justice League.
Sorry, there's an extended cut
for Batman versus Superman that they put
there's
out there.
More of that garbage out there?
That evidently makes it a better movie. Now, I don't know how much better, but it gives context to the Martha thing and like the dynamic between Batman and Superman.
So basically they're retconning it so that way that it makes sense.
I genuinely think that the Snyder cut is good. Hang on, guys.
We can make it better. I promise.
Wait, we're trying to make it make sense. Oh, Jesus.
Yes, that's exactly what they're doing. It's like when an author comes back to like the 10th anniversary edition and they're like, hey, why don't you just add all this stuff back in there that the publisher wouldn't let me put in there? I promise it'll make it a better book.
Well, it's like, what's the fucking series? Dark Tower series? Loop Keyhole movie? Book one? What's it called? Loop Eye Through the Loophole? What's it fucking called?
Wind Through
Keeping
the Keyhole.
Tom Loophole? Keyhole? Yeah, that one.
Wind Through the Keyhole.
I knew you knew it. I was like, it's somewhere in this fucking general area. I'm just going to hover around it till Trey says it.
The Wind Through the Keyhole.
Mm. Solid book, and it does enhance the story, in my opinion. But
it does. And it wasn't necessary to tell the story from the original, but it was a nice little
insight.
A moosh boosh.
Okay, I'm going to argue that Batman and Robin's a better movie.
Of course you are. And I'll shit on this. Go ahead.
this is all impromptu. I did not have the facts
arms,
in
people.
Front of me, but I'm going to guesstimate here.
But I quick Googled reviewed while Irvin and Trey were talking. But
no,
continue.
I didn't. I should have. But here are my general thoughts. And we can come back to this topic later. But here's what I'm thinking. Batman v Superman is approximately 4,000 minutes long. Whereas Batman and Robin's about 90. It's like a crisp 87 minutes. I think, again, I'm open to being told that there are factual variations that I'm mistaken on. But I think that the difference is that Batman and Robin's about 87 minutes. Batman v Superman takes longer to complete than the entire extended edition of the Lord of the Rings movie. 125? That's Batman and Robin? Or Batman? Yeah. Batman and Robin?
No, Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin is...
Batman and Robin is 125.
No fucking way.
Yeah, it's a rambling pile of garbage.
Okay, well, how long is... Okay, look up how long Batman and Superman...
I'm looking at it.
Okay, well, still, 2 hours, five minutes over 2 hours, still... Oh, God, that's fighting against my argument. But I still think BVS is going to be a lot longer. Trey, what do you got?
I think a lot of the movies are just
3 hours,
nowadays.
3 minutes.
Okay, so it's longer by an hour. I can count on one hand the number of cool scenes from Batman v Superman. There was the warehouse fight scene, very cool. There was the parts of the Batman versus Superman fight were cool. When he takes a kitchen sink and beats Superman over the head with it, that was over the top and upsetting to watch as an adult. But ultimately, there just weren't that many cool scenes out of a 300...
Wonder Woman's fucking intro.
Yeah.
Her flirting with Bruce Wayne. His Batmobile.
His training. The one he used to kill like 73 people. Yeah, that was a really cool scene, Irvin. So here's the thing, is I would cut a lot of that out in order to spare myself from having to watch Lex Luthor, played by Jesse Eisenberg, push a Jolly Rancher into a senator's mouth. That I can't unsee that. I can't get that time back in my life.
I have to respect that angle. They were going with like something relatable to the fucking kids younger than us and our generation, to the fucking the nerdy geek fucking Silicon Valley motherfuckers. That's what they were going for. They were trying to appease to that crowd, which they shouldn't have, because it just fucks everything, obviously.
Irvin, that would have made a lot of sense if you could turn around and say, oh yeah, Lex Luthor is this like creepy tech nerd. But Irvin, I want you to tell me, what did his business do? What did LexCorp do in that movie? Did they sell software? Were they a manufacturing business? Did they produce chemicals? What did LexCorp do?
Imported kryptonite.
Okay. I was about to say all of the above, because that's what LexCorp does. Is it just does everything.
Okay, but if you're going to be really specific with the CEO or whatever, try to make him Mark Zuckerberg, then he needs to have a Mark Zuckerberg company. And when he's just generically weird, or like, no, he's like really specifically weird. He's like Jolly Rancher in the mouth. I have a basketball court in my break room weird. Anyway, so
as Dr. or as Mr. Freeze is much better.
He was trying his hardest, okay?
No, that he was hamming that shit up. Here's what I'll say. The movie is Batman v Superman is a hell of a lot longer. It is very joyless. It's hard to watch in parts. The Martha thing is weird, and if you can't admit that, then you're a bad person on the inside. There's a lot more bad, like there's more time spent doing bad things on BVS than there is in Batman and Robin. There's some really profoundly bad things. The credit card scene, Bane being essentially a Pokemon scene. There's a lot going wrong with Batman and Robin, but there's also less time that it's going wrong. And that may be the best argument in its defense. The best scene from Batman and Robin is probably the ending credits. That's the
because
part where I'm
when
like,
what comes on?
No, song. That it's not. No, Kiss
that
from
was Batman
Rose
Forever again. God damn it, Irvin.
They're fucking just blending in. They're just blending in.
Okay, but think about it this way. You can watch Batman and Robin with your friends, laugh your asses off, making fun of that movie, make a drinking game out of it. And by the time you're done, you're still going to have another hour of fucking Batman v Superman to have to trudge through, which will include the two best scenes from that movie. So that's why Batman and Robin are probably a better movie to watch.
All I can say is that BVS brought us Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. I win, bitch.
I like to think that Wonder Woman brought us Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. That brought us a girl in a skirt who flirted with Batman.
True.
In BVS. Batman wasn't in Wonder Woman, dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is
that's why it's a better movie.
Yeah, Wonder Woman introduces Woman.
Obviously.
BVS introduces a girl who flirts with Batman.
It's the first appearance of Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. That's when that's when I personally knew I was back into brunettes. I was like, huh. I was like, yeah, I'd been blondes all up until that point. I genuinely thought that I had in theaters. I was like, I'm into brunettes again. I was like, this is nice. So let's get away from arguing, because we could totally do an episode off of that too, arguing BVS versus Batman and Robin. Give both of their respective parties. Trey could be the ultimate decision factor. We can do a battle royale, Trey.
Battle royale. Free for all.
If he's the moderator, then it's not really a free for all or a BR.
Why, do you think he'll pick me over you
like death he match. Does
in other things in life?
Deathmatch.
Fuck you, Irvin. Also, like all of Trey's decisions in life, that one was not made by Trey, but by his wife.
Very true.
Fair.
I make no decisions.
Yeah, we could totally do that as an episode. Let both parties argue their sides. Or everybody have arguments for both of the movies. And then we'll just come back and round robin it. I don't know. We'll think on that, guys. We'll
hit that lose. Out
to you guys. But yeah, everybody's a fucking loser, right?
Hey, that's the tagline to Alien vs. Predator. Whoever wins, we lose.
Hey, fun fact about Alien vs. Predator, guys. It just got bought. I guess, well, not bought. Marvel acquired the rights from Dark Horse to
no,
that.
No. Fox owned AVP, and Dark Horse was allowed to do, it was the comic book outlet. And after 35 years, Dark Horse had to give it back to Marvel because they were purchased, or because Fox was purchased by Marvel.
Correct. So via that merger, they were able to acquire the rights from it. And so the original Predator, number one, the fucking AVPs, aliens, all that has fucking skyrocketed as far as comic book sales are concerned. And I've also snagged up a couple things. Did you know that they did a run with DC? It was like Justice League versus Predators. And then there's another one that's Batman versus Predator. Pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine, because all of those mashups have been done.
Yeah.
Or so are done I often.
I think those will appreciate with time here. But yeah, cool little caveat there. Let's wrap this up. I think that was a pretty good quick little conversation we had about Batman and Robin. Let's talk about we've been shitting on the movie the entire time, for the most part. Let's talk about some of the good points. This. And I'm going to lead it off because I really think that this distinguishes itself from other movies, from pretty much all other superhero movies. Damn, can't even talk. This movie gave us Robin and it gave us Batgirl. In a live action, we have yet to see any superhero sidekicks. Even though in this movie you had what is it? Robin transitioning into Nightwing, right? That was their angle, but they don't really say it. And then you don't ever really see a sidekick, like a real sidekick, not a fucking, my middle name is Robin, I'm gonna fucking take over the mantle, but none of that bullshit, right? Like a legitimate fucking.
Well, other than the TV series, the 60s with Adam West, you had Robin in that.
Yeah. I'm talking about movies. Okay. Yeah.
There was the 1966 Fair. Adam West Batman movie where he fought up, or he teamed up against, or rather, the villains teamed up against him, which were the Joker, the Riddler, Penguin, and Catwoman. And I think that was it.
Oh, see, I didn't know. See, for me, it was always a TV show. I didn't know that it was, out of it.
One movie.
And it's actually, it's fantastic, and I wish I'd watched. I watched every Batman movie leading up to The Dark Knight Rises, except for the 1966 Batman, and I wish I had, because there's an amazing scene in the 66 Batman where he's running around. I'm sure you've seen it. Adam West is running around with a bomb, one of those, it looks like the bomb from Legend of Zelda, over his head. It's obviously the fuse is lit. He's running around. He's about to throw it into the water, and he sees a school of ducks. He's about to throw it somewhere else, and there's like a bus of nuns or something. He keeps trying to throw it away, but there keeps being reasons not to dispose of it. And I'm pretty sure Batman looks at the camera and says, "Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb," which would have been the perfect thing to yell out in the movie theater when Batman's trying to get rid of the hydrogen bomb at the end of Dark Knight Rises. But I didn't know, I didn't have that in my bank at the time, and it pisses me off.
You also probably would have been the only person to understand that.
There would have been at least three people in that movie theater who would have understood it.
2.5. I'll give you 2.5. I won't go 3.
That's too rich for my blood.
It's too rich for my blood. Yeah, okay, so that movie, so you just disproved what I was saying, so thanks for shitting on my idea there. But I still think this gave us 2, whereas no other superhero movie since then, let's say since then, hasn't given us a sidekick. And I think fucking due, man. I think it can change up some of the dynamics of the movies that we have, because they're kind of becoming stale, right? They're still fun. I'm still going to go watch them all, obviously. But I think adding in a sidekick, or maybe even doing like a straight Teen Titans movie, I think would be awesome.
I can get behind that as far as having sidekicks as a part of the movie. Other than the bullshit like homages, like where it's like, you know, the ha 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 on the suit and him Easter saying, "Oh, my middle name's Robin," yeah, or "my real name's Robin," or whatever the fuck. Yeah. But and everybody needs a little more background in life. It's always good.
Only drawback I see to that, mm-hmm, I think you haven't seen DC sidekicks, but you have seen a lot of sidekicks in the Marvel universe, where you've got Rhodey as War Machine as a sidekick of sorts, Falcon as a sidekick of sorts, the Warriors 3, whoever the fuck those guys are, are all sidekicks. I mean, they are sidekicks of sorts.
Yeah.
I think the problem, especially in the DC universe, the problem with giving them sidekicks is it's really hard to explain in the very gritty, realistic ones. How does exactly Batman convince a 12-year-old to fight crime with him? And how does no one else find it suspicious that this old bachelor rich guy is hanging around? Like, that's going to scream Epstein stuff, for real. The fact that
I'm
going to
leave this in there, by the way. So yeah, continue.
Do it. I mean, the fact,
no, Epstein. I mean, there was a documentary.
How would Bruce Wayne, playboy billionaire, explain the fact that he has a lot of free time to spend with this kid who also happens to get weird bruises occasionally and misses school a lot? That's why it would be tough to do a teenage Robin, or even a teenage, like any sidekick, right? Probably. So I don't really know how to explain that other than just...
You would just age it up.
Yeah, you can do that. But I guess that's why like Shazam worked, right? Is because mm-hmm. he was a kid, but then turned into an adult wizard, right? Mm-hmm. And so that works because he has like a built-in alter ego, and it's an adult alter ego, and he doesn't reflect the bruising and stuff like that. But yeah, the more realistic characters.
Yeah, because like think about it, if like, kids are going to school and they got like crowbar injuries from when the Joker beat them up, fucking teachers are gonna ask questions, man. The police are gonna get called, and Bruce Wayne doesn't need that heat. He's already trying to conceal the fact that he's fucking Batman.
So I guess you could do Crypto the Superdog. That would still work.
You fucking guy.
That would work.
I would love an only Crypto superhero movie.
An only Crypto. There's no dialogue. But it's all done in like the Peanuts, like all the people are talking and all he hears is
the only word you hear that he understands is crypto. It's like I gotta go for my master. Who would the villain in Crypto the Superdog be?
The mailman.
I was going to say it would be the person that's like vacuuming the Fortress of Solitude. He's like, dude, he's got super hearing. That's got to be terrifying for a dog.
Until he eats the the guy and the vacuum cleaner. Just eats him.
Yeah. Whole. Super strength.
So Supergirl would work because she's impervious. It's like a Clark Kent thing. All you gotta do is put glasses on her. Good to go.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
And she's usually an adult whenever that's happening.
I guess you're right. I guess you're right. But yeah, who? So other than Robin, though, who were other teenage sidekicks? And I'm just thinking Teen Titans, right? But
they all have their own respective ones.
Aqualad,
Kid Flash,
Speedy
for Green Arrow, correct? You have there's another one that he has too, but I forget. Even Batman, Arsenal, probably. Yeah, Arsenal, exactly. Even Batman has more than one. He has Robin. He has technically Nightwing as a kind of
Robin graduate to Nightwing, and then he gets another Robin, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he always gets a new little boy to help him out with stuff.
God damn it! Hey, we're off the rails. How did we
sidekicks.
Get here?
So, you.
How did so we then, arrive at this destination?
So you. No, it's sidekicks in movies, and that
was my positive. I thought that was a positive from this movie. I wanted to give a positive to the movie because.
Wait, we're still talking about Batman and Robin. We're
talking about Batman and Robin. Guys.
That was weeks ago, motherfucker.
So what? Yeah, both of y'all give me one positive, and then we'll cap this episode off.
Elle McPherson was the girlfriend.
Okay.
Did you look that up on Wikipedia to find that out?
As soon as I saw her name, I went, "Holy crap, she's at the party!" But yes, I did. But I did remember her.
I think the best positive of this movie is that it had John Glover in it, and any movie that has John Glover is immediately elevated from what it could be to what it has to be. So the fact that he's just a crazy-ass mad scientist, chef kiss, beautiful. I want to see more of it. Make the whole movie, they should have, as soon as they started writing it, realized that John Glover was the center of that movie, scrap the Batman and Robin thing, and just write a John Glover being a mad scientist in the jungle, being an asshole boss to Pamela Isley.
Done and done.
Here's the biggest downside of that movie. Not enough John Glover. He gets killed immediately.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You have all the negatives. If you can think of more stuff, definitely drop it in the comments. We'll post a couple clips.
Hey, there was a few positives in there.
And obviously, if you can think of some other positives, drop those as well. If you already haven't, do us a favor, head over to Apple Podcasts, drop that 5-star, tell your friends about it, take their phones, drop the 5-star. We're also on all social media platforms, nerd.nostalgia.podcast. That's Instagram. We're on Facebook, Nerd Nostalgia Podcast, on Facebook and YouTube. I got rid of the TikTok, guys. I don't know about that one. Couldn't keep up with it, to be honest with you guys.
I need another drink. I'm out.
Well, you heard Trey's drink clank and Brian's yawn, so you know it's time for us to head on out. Thanks again for joining us. We'll catch you on the next episode. And remember, stay nerdy, my friends.